Must be fun to be a comedian this year. The presidential election alone is a source of so much information, so much opinion, so much opportunity for snark. Our next guest has just a few observations on the election and just about everything else in the universe. Paula Poundstone is a comedian, still playing many shows on the road, including Reading on November 5th at the Cascade. And she's one of the regular panelists on the wildly popular quiz show on NPR, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. This is Paula Poundstone's third visit to the Jefferson Exchange. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks so much. How are you?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Good, thanks.
So is a political year like this one comedy gold?
It's hard not to talk about it.
Do you try not to talk about it?
I don't know. There's every now and then I think, well, maybe the poor audience needs a rest from, you know, the horrors of what's gone on. But, yeah, it is kind of irresistible. By the way, I really firmly believe that myself and my brethren would gladly make stuff up. Like, the democracy doesn't have to plummet in order for us to have jokes. You know, we don't really need a...
So the candidates are writing your material for you? Is that what you're saying?
Well, they are, but they needn't be. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want people to run for office feeling that they're benefiting the world of comedy.
Okay, good to know. I loved your tweet about the Al Smith dinner, though. I mean, it sounds like that was not an easy watch for somebody who does write jokes for a living.
It was horrible. It was really horrible. I think it's an odd event anyways. Honestly, I don't need my presidential candidates to be good at delivering jokes. I don't care if they are or not. It makes no difference to me. I mean, I don't know. And in this case, who thought that was going to go well? You know, it was creepy. It was, and I did, I don't know why I watched the whole thing, but it was like watching a car wreck. The funniest part was the guys, the two guys sitting behind the candidates when they were, when they were talking. This one guy was sweating so much.
Was that the guy wearing the medal? It looked like a Knights of Columbus medal or something?
Yeah, he was shiny. He was dripping. I guess it was because, you know, neither one were, I mean, he was appalling, but she wasn't good either. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was because she was still reeling from how appalling he was. I don't know. Uh-huh. It was good to know that my job can't just be stepped into, I guess.
That's right. It's going to take a little more practice to replace Paula Poundstone.
Okay, you know, why, if we're going to do that, why not just have them do, you know, hula hoop or, you know.
Well, I was going to ask if maybe we should turn this into America's Got Talent, but it sounds like that we've kind of gotten halfway there already.
Yeah, America doesn't really have that much talent, according to this event. Yeah, I mean, why not have like a little cooking segment? Why would this be important? Why can't those people just give money to the Catholic Charities if they want to? I don't understand why they need that event. But anyways, there it was.
Mm-hmm. All right, I can see the presidential election could be a source of some consternation just a little bit this year. After the last time we talked, I saw you at the Criterion in Medford. It was the first time I had a chance to see in person what you had mentioned in previous discussions about you doing the hey, where you're from, what do you do thing. Wow, that can really be a major part of the show, can't it?
So much fun. Yeah. my favorite part, I have material. I have 37 years of material rattling around in my head somewhere, and I do use it. I don't have a script on any given night. It's more like, you know, those arcade games where you step into a booth mm-hmm. and they blow money around you and you can keep what you grab.
Uh-huh.
That's sort of my act.
So years of material are floating around you, just snatch it out of the air?
Right. If I can grab it, then I use it. But my favorite part of the night is just talking to the audience. I do the time-honored, where are you from, what do you do for a living? And in this way, little biographies of audience members emerge. And I use that from which to set my sails.
It was really fun because on this night you were talking to a woman who had just retired as a lawyer for the state of Oregon, and I remember the, you know, 10 minutes had gone by since the last time you'd visited. Then you came back and went, a lawyer, huh? And it just picked up again from there. This is real. I have to believe, Paul, this is like psychology on the fly. I mean, you have to have developed a good sense, I'm thinking, for who can take a ribbing.
Oh, no. I mean, everybody can, mm-hmm. you know. And the thing is, anybody, when you get them talking, has great stuff, because people think somehow that there's, you know, there's like, oh, you talked to a person who wasn't interesting, or, oh, you talked to a person who wasn't fun. It's not true at all. you just have to stick to it for a few seconds. And everybody is fascinating when you get them talking.
Did you ever get a real showstopper, someone whose story or interactions with you just brought the house completely down?
No. Sometimes when I say to people, I say, what do you do for a living? And they say, well, I'm a computer programmer, I'm a software developer. I personally glaze over a little bit. but that's really more, I suppose, because of my ignorance on the topic. But, you know, usually when they say that, I say, what do you do with your free time? you know, there's always something else we could talk about. I hate computers, and the idea that someone, you know, works at inventing software or creating software is just it's a tragedy.
You make good use of computers, though. I mean, you're quite active on Twitter every day, it seems like.
Well, yeah, I guess I am. I mean, it's more compulsion than really than a pleasurable sort of thing, I think. You know, when I first saw Twitter, I thought, oh my gosh, this is the most self-centered, ridiculous thing I've ever seen. And I still think that. It's just that I enjoy it very much.
Well, some of the stuff on Twitter, you get a sense for how much you're on the road, particularly from the recent tweet about being the person who was the first to use a new restroom at LAX. That's somebody who travels by plane a lot.
Yeah, I do, actually. Although I got to say, you know, when you go to the airport, you think, oh, Lordy, you know, I'm leaving my house at 3:30 in the morning. Like, I'm going to be the only one there. It's never true. You know, you get there, there's always somebody else on the flight. I was at 4:30 in the morning, I bumped into Mary Lou Henner in the ladies' room at Los Angeles Airport. Not only that, but I had forgotten that she had this ability. Do you know this about Mary Lou Henner? She remembers everything that ever happened.
Oh, she's one of those, yeah. No, didn't know that.
I didn't even know there's more than one. I am so the polar opposite. Well, except for at the airport. Usually I'm pretty good at the airport. But so 4:30 in the morning, I bump into Mary Lou Henner. It took me a second to figure out who she was. But, of course, she knew who I was right away because she remembers everything. So she says, oh, Paula. And I kind of looked funny at her, and she goes, it's Mary Lou. And I'm like, oh, of course, you know. And we hug one another, hello, and we chatted for a few minutes. And she told me that she has this memory thing. And when we talked, she knew the date of each of the times that we had met, and it was astounding, and she was absolutely right. And I remembered meeting, but I didn't remember those specific things. And so now I go to the security, go through security now, which I've done right a million times maybe now, and generally handle just fine. But now as I go through security, after I walk away from Mary Lou Henner, I go to walk through the thing, and it buzzes, and they say, oh, you must have something in your pocket. And I go, oh, my gosh, I do. I'm so sorry. And I back up, and I take out a cell phone, and I put in the thingy. And now I go to walk through again. It buzzes again. And they go, oh, you must have something else. And I go, you know what? I have two phones. Hold on. I put the other phone in. And now I think, now I get the pat down or something because I just can't seem to make it through the thing. And now I go to leave and someone says, isn't this your bag over here? And I go, oh, gosh, yes, it is. Thank you. So as it turns out, what Mary Lou Henner does is suck the short-term memory out of everyone she meets when she hugs them.
So that's what happened.
Just, yeah. Okay,
stay away, Mary Lou. No hugs. No hugs this time, Mary Lou. I need to be able to get through security.
Yeah. I mean, she seems so nice. And then it turns out she has this evil skill.
She is a memory parasite. Paula Poundstone is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's playing the Cascade Theater in Reading on November 5th and visiting with us once again on the Jefferson Exchange. You can be part of the visit at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Okay, so as much as you travel, you still have a son at home, don't you? Is he in high school now?
He is 18.
Oh, wow.
Which is, as it turns out, one of the worst things that can happen to a person. Oh my God, it's horrible. It's awful, an 18-year-old boy. Talk about no memory. Mm-hmm. I mean, the frontal lobe, which is the organizing, planning, judgment, reasoning, self-control part of the brain does not come in on a boy until between 25 and 30, or it doesn't complete coming in until between 25 and 30. And new science on the brain has shown us that the use of screen devices overstimulates the frontal lobe and can stop its development.
Yeah,
this is something that parents and educators need to know. And my son did some overuse and of screen devices, and therefore, I'm telling you, I check on him at night. There's a divot there. He has no frontal lobe. He has negative frontal lobe. His planning, his organizing, his self-control doesn't exist. Everything, you know, everything comes as a surprise to him. You know, what day it is comes as a surprise. You know, Christmas Day comes as a surprise. Everything is a surprise to him. He has no idea what's coming up.
Now that has to include things like homework and the report.
Well, precisely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Everything was a pop quiz, his whole education. You know? I said, well, you know, honey, it is exam week. It's not really a pop quiz. Wow. They've planned on it for a semester. Yeah, it's a terrible thing. And argue. Oh, my God, he argues. There are nights where after he goes to bed, I go into my bedroom and complete my sentences.
The argument part of the brain seems to come in pretty early, about 13 or so by my recognition.
Oh, my heavens. No, for him, it was like from the moment he could stand, everyone else was wrong and he was right. I don't know. We'll see. He should be like a brain study. Somebody should put, you know, something on his lobe now and just follow him for, because, you know, that movie Boyhood.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the documentary that could be done with my son's brain.
Indeed.
It would make Ken Burns look like a piker.
We have a question from Valerie and Ashlyn. She wants to know how many cats you have right now, Paula.
I have 14 cats.
Wow.
Yeah, because I'm an idiot. People actually often ask me how I got 14 cats, and they say it sort of dripping with judgment. They go, how did you get 14 cats? I can tell you exactly how I got 14 cats, which is I had 16 and two died. So it's done. It's just math.
You know, it actually happened at our house when I was growing up, and it started with one male and two females.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that could happen.
Yeah, thanks, Uncle Gerard, for bringing out the two males you thought were males and they weren't.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, in my case, it's really just stupidity. I have, I don't know, my daughter Allie volunteered at the animal shelter here in town for a while, and so we were there a lot. And darned if we didn't see kittens.
Yeah, they were too cute to resist, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about Rhonda Puckett, the cooking expert who shows up in your work from time to time. Well, where did she come from in your id?
She is, I was raised in Massachusetts, luckily, because Massachusetts is a wonderful state, but I was born in Alabama.
Yeah, in Huntsville. My wife went to high school there.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, I was, it's where my mother is from. And so, my father happened to have got a job in Massachusetts on the night that I was born, and they moved there a month later. But in fact, my relatives are from Alabama, and my so everybody sounds like that, and they kind of are like that. So Rhonda Puckett, who is a character that I that I do in YouTube videos. She is a mixture of my Aunt Stormy and my mother, and she has a cooking show for the beginning cook.
Hey, I watch her chop candy bars for the Halloween segment.
She has a gift in the Halloween segment. She really knows a way to prepare Halloween foods that's inexpensive and healthier for the children.
Paula Poundstone, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Rhonda talks about Halloween in that segment, and people do seem to love or hate Halloween. How do you feel about it?
Oh, well, you know, when my kids were little, I really enjoyed it. I remember, you know, during that period before you have kids and after, you know, as a young adult, I didn't care about Halloween at all. I remember one time I flew home from some job, and I had forgotten that it was Halloween. And kids came by my house, you know, ringing the doorbell. I didn't have any candy or anything. I happened to have one Three Musketeers bar that I had bought at the airport, and I just stood in the window eating it. Just maybe not in the spirit of the night, but I don't know, once I had, you know, to some degree in our house, Halloween was a little redundant because my kids dressed up. They loved wearing costumes, so mm-hmm. they did that all the time anyways. One of the weird things about it now is that it goes on forever. We stopped trick-or-treating, you know, by the time we were in junior high, I think. But my son, at 15, still wanted to go trick-or-treating. I'm like, you know what? I go, you don't even need a costume. Just go next door, ring the doorbell, and the lady answers the door, say, "Hi, Mom." That'll scare the hell out of her.
I like that idea for a costume. So the Cascade Theater in Reading, Saturday, November 5th, is when you'll be here. I guess you were in Eugene recently, too. So
it was, yeah. I had a great time in Eugene.
Yeah, it seems like there's never a lack of opportunity to see Paula Poundstone on stage. So thanks for providing that for us, and it's great to hear you always on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on NPR.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, it's fun to do. I always say if the others didn't cheat, it would be the perfect job.
It would indeed. Paula Poundstone, always good to talk to you. Take care.
Take care.